True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Buy or sell. Shohei Ohtani is the fantasy MVP so far this season. Welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today. Frank Stanfield joined by Scott White and Chris Towers. Today on the podcast, we have a bunch more buy or sell items, hitters who are improving in the month of May. We'll recap all of Monday's action. We've got some team name Tuesdays and more. Before we get to it, Scott, I know that you have broken your finger before because of the Braves. Have you ever fractured your hand punching something because of them?
Ah, no. Mine was a fall. It was not a punch. And that's the only fracture I have ever suffered. So I have punched inanimate objects in anger before. But I don't think I've ever gone with enough force to break a bone in the hand. Usually you kind of slow down right before you impact it because you realize, oh, this is going to hurt, you know? At least that's my experience.
Well, that wasn't Waskari Noah's experience, apparently, because he's out the next 2 months for he punched a bench in the dugout. So that sucks because he was pitching quite well. So hopefully you sold high while you could. Let's talk about some of Monday's standouts.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Chris, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, how about a game that's still in progress as we're talking, but I think it's worth talking about Shohei Ohtani again.
Again.
1-for-2, 2 runs, 3 RBI, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. One of the most ridiculous home runs of the season so far. Hit a pitch that was right about eye level on the, I think it was outside too. It was certainly on the outer half. And he pulled it like 420 feet. He's absolutely ridiculous. He's been one of the best hitters in baseball. Yeah, man, there's not a lot to say about Shohei Ohtani besides that he's just been absolutely incredible. We're seeing kind of the best case scenario across the board. And I guess the only question is, do you consider selling high?
What do you think, Scott?
Well, I don't think so, actually.
Okay.
I was going to talk, if we were going to have the discussion whether he's the fantasy MVP so far, I was going to point out that just today I was writing an article redrafting the first 2 rounds for the rest of 2021. So not counting any stats that have already been accumulated, but just, you know, from today forward, how would you draft the first 2 rounds in 2021? And I have Ohtani as a second round pick. And I don't think there's anybody drafted as later than him who has entered those first 2 rounds. You have others like JD Martinez, who made almost as big a climb, but not as big as Ohtani. And I think that would probably be the argument for calling him the fantasy MVP, right?
Yeah, then, I think that definition of value.
Based on the way his last start went, I could foresee us actually wanting to use him as a pitcher from time to time too, even though we haven't been motivated to yet because like he leads the majors in home runs. And oh, by the way, is on about a top 20 steal pace too. Or so, more than that, 25 steal pace.
Yeah, the batting average is not where we want it, I guess, 265. But I mean, the batted ball data still says that he's been unlucky based on how hard he is impacting the ball. He's got a 931 OPS, leads the majors in home runs, 13 with six steals, 30 runs scored, 32 RBI. So contributing across the board. The preseason ADP was 157.6. The other names that I had listed here as potential fantasy MVPs to this point, John Means, Kevin Gausman, Mitch Haniger, JD Martinez, just based on value where you got them before the season. But Otani,
Chris Bryant, I think, is in that discussion as well.
Yeah.
With JD Martinez, Byron Buxton would have been before the injury. Jared Walsh, Ryan McMahon. I think there's a handful of other hitters, but yeah, I think Otani and Martinez probably stand out above the crowd.
Is he the fantasy MVP to this point?
Yeah, John Means was being drafted outside of the top 200 on average, and he's a top five starting pitcher. So I think you can make a case for him as well. And he's really the only other one I think you could make a case for. So I think it's probably Otani. Yeah.
Yep.
In the context of like, is he the real MVP? Is he the major league MVP? How would you calculate his WAR? Because it's two separate WARs, right? It's a hitting. It's you get one WAR for hitters and one WAR for pitchers.
That wouldn't even be a thing, right? Well, it wouldn't even. You could add them together, sure, but that wouldn't actually accurately capture the value because you're getting, elite hitting production and elite pitching production from one roster spot, not just from one player.
Sure.
But like, I think that it's even more valuable than like, according to Fangraphs, he's been worth 1.7 WAR so far, which I don't think would be the highest.
They're just giving him a single number because Baseball Reference.
It's adding hitting and pitching.
Baseball Reference gives him 1.2 for hitting and 1.1 for pitching.
Yeah.
So,
which wouldn't be the single most valuable player in baseball, according to those.
Just adding them up.
Yeah, like Trout's at 2.4. I'm sure there's a pitcher who's, DeGarrett Cole was at 2.7 before today. So I think you could probably, but again, that's not accounting for the fact that his team essentially has 27 players with 26 roster spots in a way that no other team like can match at all.
Scott, your oh my goodness gracious player from Monday.
So there was a certain pitcher who entered Monday having issued just three walks through eight starts. He had an ERA below one. An ERA below two, an xFIP below two, a FIP below two, a Sierra below two, an xERA below two. He was by far the best pitcher in baseball so far. And that pitcher was Garrett Cole. Now, Garrett Cole no longer has an ERA below two. He just had his worst start of the season against the Rangers of all teams. And a big reason for that was Willie Calhoun. Willie Calhoun homered off Garrett Cole. Willie Calhoun hit a double off Garrett Cole. Willie Calhoun is batting 287 now. He has an OPS around like 930. His strikeout rate is 92nd percentile strikeout rate, but below 15%. He's playing against lefties and righties. Willie Calhoun is getting it done. And he's available in nearly half of CBS Sports League still. It's a little ridiculous. Nobody wants Willie Calhoun. He's outfield eligible too, so you can't even say, oh, I can't fit him in my DH spot. It's not an issue anymore. He's outfield eligible. So enough with this Willie Calhoun hate. Get him on your roster. He's good.
I was so confused, Scott, when I saw his roster rate on CBS was only 55%. I feel like we've been talking about Willie Calhoun. Well, we should talk about Garrett Cole too.
Add Garrett Cole, guys.
Yeah, if you can. But Willie Calhoun, man, we've been talking about him forever. He's been awesome. So yeah, that number I think should be higher than 55% and get him on your team. He now played his 10th game in the outfield. So even if your league requires 10 games to have eligibility, Willie Calhoun should have that starting Tuesday and beyond.
Shohei Ohtani plus 400 at William Hill in their latest odds, but he was plus 6,000 preseason.
Where does he
second
rank?
Behind Mike Trout? Oh. It's Trout, Ohtani, Vlad, Buxton, JD Martinez.
And now Mike Trout is
so Trout, Ohtani, Vlad, Buxton, JD Martinez, Giancarlo Stanton. Three of the top six are on the IL. 2021 MLB, folks.
Let's go. Yeah.
Were you counting Trout?
I mean, yeah, assuming he's...
He'll be. Okay.
Yeah. We don't know yet. We'll talk about it in a bit, but Mike Trout left with a...
He's currently injured.
Yeah. I want to talk about Adolis Garcia in that same exact game. He went 2-for-4 with his 11th home run and his fourth stolen base of the season. So getting it done across the board as well. He's batting .296. He's got a .933 OPS. He was the 16th best outfielder in fantasy points per game entering Monday night. He was the 9th best outfielder in Roto. We have him much lower than that in our rankings. So that's got to change. Buy or sell Adolis Garcia, top 30 outfielder. Rest of season. Scott doesn't like that.
No, I don't really. I think the plate discipline is so bad that the odds are against it. I mean, there's a reason he was stuck in the minors more or less until age 28. I think he's going to hit a good number of home runs, like he already has. I think that's part of his skill set, and I think he'll pitch in enough steals that in a categories league, it's going to be hard to take him out of your lineup, but I think top 30 is too high. I think more like, I don't know. I'd hesitate to have him in my top 40 even.
I just figured because
top 40.
The position is so bad, you know, that it wouldn't really be hard to get him in there.
Has been so bad.
Right? Fair.
That's
real hard for me to find reasons to be enthusiastic right now. I don't know.
There was a quote last week, too, that really stood out to me regarding Adolis Garcia. And this was an update from CBS. Garcia and the Rangers are preparing for opposing pitchers to alter how they pitch to him. And basically, they're acknowledging it, and he's working on his mechanics to adjust to off-speed pitches. So I like reading stuff like that. You know, the fact that he's struggled with swing and miss in the past, and he knows what's coming, and he's kind of prepping himself for it. You know, it sounds like he's a major league ball player, and he's absolutely crushing it right now. So yeah, top 30 is too high. I'm going to sell that, but I'm going to get him inside my top 40.
To be fair, since I was docking him for his age, I do think that's still fair to do, but he didn't start his minor league career till age 24 because he came over from Cuba, but still, I mean, usually when you start your minor league career at age 24, the thinking is you're going to have a short minor league career.
Yeah.
All right.
Not.
Well, I actually had a buy or sell for Willie Calhoun. I'd rather have Calhoun than Garcia rest of season. Buy or sell that.
Calhoun instead of Adolis Garcia?
Yeah. I'd rather have Calhoun.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Is it a bad look if I go Adolis Garcia in Roto and Willie Calhoun in points? I feel like that's the way to go here.
No, we call that a Heath.
No, I think Roto is Garcia's better format. I think points is Calhoun's better format, but I would still take Calhoun in both because I expect Calhoun will be, I mean, the way this year's going, an asset in batting average, I think it's pretty safe to say he will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just all that more impressive doing it off of Gerrit Cole. My Texas Rangers, baby, wearing the Texas Rangers hat, you know, since day one. Huge fan. Got to get those fat heads replaced behind me. Before we hit the news and notes, we've got to let you know what's on CBS Sports HQ this week. As always, CBS Sports HQ is your home to start your sports news day with live updates kicking off each morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And HQ is always your home ahead of the evening's action with live picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world each day at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. This week, our crew is locked in on the PGA Championship. Our friends from the First Cut podcast, Kyle Porter, Rick Gaiman, and Doug Bell will be on HQ all week with picks, weather reports, highlights, and everything you'd want to know about the tourney. Everybody should be paying attention to the First Cut Golf Podcast. They are crushing it right now. So check out HQ on your computer on CBSSports.com or via the CBS Sports app on your mobile phone or TV. It's always free. It's always on CBS Sports HQ. We've already alluded to it, but Mike Trout left Monday night's game with a right calf strain. He's no stranger to injury. Not that this is related to anything else he's ever had, but he averaged 33 games missed per season from 2017 to 2019. And pure speculation, but my guess is this will require an IL stint. He was visibly upset when it happened, and I'm sure the next question everyone's going to have is, will we see Joe Adell or Brandon Marsh anytime soon if Mike Trout lands on the IL? And my answer is no. I don't think they're ready. What do you guys think?
I mean, they're both striking out a ton early on. Joe Adell is at 42% through 10 games, 11 games now.
It's bad.
Marsh is at 35% through 7 games. So there has been some chatter that the Angels kind of maybe view Marsh as a better prospect now than Adell, but I don't really see it in their minor league track record. I think a lot of it comes from there was talk that Marsh had reworked his swing to unlock more power last year, but we never really got to see it. So it could have been there in the alternate site. But my guess is Adell is still ahead of him, assuming that he can kind of pull out of this strikeout issue that he's currently dealing with, because he is hitting the ball well. And I think he is super talented. And, you know, he was awful last season. But I think it's worth remembering that Adell is been a top prospect since 2018. He's still only 22 years old. He just turned 22 at the beginning of April. He's only played 234 games in the minors. There have been some injuries. Obviously, he lost last season. So, you know, he is still potentially more raw than his prospect pedigree may make you think.
I do wonder if, because they're already down to Taylor Ward filling an outfield spot. I do wonder if just by necessity they'll have to call Adell up like they did last year. I mean, it should have been pretty clear he wasn't ready last year, as bad as it was, and yet they called him up anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at those numbers and I agree, Frank. I wouldn't want to call him up if I were them, but I wonder how much choice they have.
Mm-hmm. Adell is 40% rostered in CBS, and I just think it would be really bad for his development. He needs more time. He's striking out so much. A lot of it, from what I've read, has been on off speed and breaking pitches, and he's just going to get crushed by those in the major leagues. So long term, I think it would be really bad for his development if they did that. But maybe out of necessity, I would rather them wait back there on Adell if something were to happen here with Mike Trout. Waskar Noah, we already mentioned it, fractured his right hand punching a dugout bench. He will miss the next 2 months. Tucker Davidson, a top 10 prospect in the Braves organization, was recalled and will get the start on Tuesday against the Mets. He has a 2.78 ERA with a 1.30 whip in 395 and a third minor league innings. Scott, scouting report on Tucker Davidson. Does he need to be rostered anywhere?
I don't think so. I don't think this is the prospect you pick up and roster ahead of time. Certainly if it performs well, then anytime somebody performs well on waivers, you think about picking him up. But, you know, he got a taste last year. Went pretty bad. That was after, I think he was a standout in spring training too. So he started to get a little bit of hype, but just 1 2/3 innings, gave up 7 runs, 2 earned. He has had back-to-back good starts at AAA this year. No 1 earned run between them, both 7 innings, 14 strikeouts in 14 innings. I assume that's why he's getting the call over somebody like Kyle Wright. But yeah, I want to wait and see what he does before I make a move for him.
Agreed.
Fair enough. Does today end in a Y? Then that means Giancarlo Stanton was placed on the IL with a left quad strain retroactive to May 14th. Chris, do you have Buxton?
I just want
What?
Everyone is injured right now.
I didn't say anything.
We're going to dog Giancarlo Stanton because he got hurt. Like, every single Major League Baseball player is currently injured and on the IL. And we're like, oh, Giancarlo Stanton got hurt again. Are you kidding me? It's like, everyone's hurt.
That doesn't make it all right, though, Chris. I mean, he gets hurt every year.
Okay.
I was going to ask, do you have him and Buxton on any teams together?
Yeah, of course I do.
Do you regret
I've
it?
I've also got Ketel Marte. I've got Corey Seager. Like, no, I don't regret it because those guys were awesome. And the guys I would have drafted instead probably would have been bad, given the way hitters worked out this season. Like, I don't know. I've got Corey Seager, Ketel Marte. I've got a ton of guys on the IL. It sucks that Byron Buxton and Giancarlo Stanton are also on the IL, but I don't know. If my season goes south, I'm not going to blame like the 120th pick that I spent on Byron Buxton or the 90th pick I spent on Giancarlo Stanton, you know?
More frustrating to me than the number of players getting hurt is that they're staying hurt forever. Like, I don't remember a time when every player pushed to the maximum extent of his timetable and beyond. It seems to be happening with everyone.
Yeah.
Like, Ketel Marte's finally gearing up for a rehab assignment, right? Like,
seriously,
Cody Bellinger.
Get him back.
Yeah, like Bellinger, we've had nothing on. He posted an Instagram video running sprints last week, and then the Dodgers came out the next day and they're like, we still don't have a timetable though. We don't know what's going on. Adalberto Mondesi. Okay, it was like the day before the season. Oh, you know, this guy's going on the IL. We had absolutely nothing until just this week. He's getting ready to go on a rehab assignment. But gosh,
it's been incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying it's nice of you, Chris.
It's just I just have to get ahead of it because everyone's like, oh, Giancarlo Stanton got hurt again. It's like,
to me, it's just more everybody frustrating because it literally happens every single year with Stanton, and the fact that this is a quad strain and it's seemingly always something like muscle related with him or whatever, soft tissue, but I don't know. It's frustrating. Danny Duffy was another one placed on the IL. Not that he's always hurt. It's just another person hurt in general. Was placed on the IL with a left forearm flexor strain. This one came out of nowhere. Chris Bubich will replace Duffy in the rotation. Bubich had some flashes last year. I think you should watch him in deeper leagues. You don't need to go at him, but he's a name to watch. Steven Strasburg will throw a 55-pitch extended bullpen on Tuesday, and if he responds well, he could start on Friday against the Baltimore Orioles. Alex Kirilloff hit off a pitching machine on Monday as he recovers from a wrist sprain, so hopefully he recovers well from that as well.
We're supposed to learn like this week whether he's going to have surgery, right? That was basically the thing with him was he's going to try to not have surgery and see how it feels for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I think what I read is that like hopefully by Friday they'll make a decision on that. So we'll see.
It was basically two like very far paths apart. It was either he's going to be fine and he's going to play the rest of the season, or he's going to have surgery.
He's going to miss the rest.
And he's out for the rest of the season. Some more injuries. Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil were both placed on the IL with hamstring strains. Outfield prospects Khalil Lee and take it away, Chris. How do you say this gentleman's name?
I believe it's Joneshwe Fargis.
Joneshwe Fargis.
Yeah.
Tongue twister there. We're both recalled. Khalil Lee is a former third round pick. He hit 264 with 8 home runs and 53 steals in the minors back in 2019. And Fargis, he has some speed as well, lower batting average. Any interest in either of these gentlemen?
Only in deeper category based leagues. I mean, if these moves had happened on Sunday afternoon, I probably would have put in a bid in my 15 team. TGFBI leagues on Khalil Lee, just to see. He's one of those guys who, I mean, obviously has tools. It's just been a question of putting them together.
Yep. And another spot opened up in their outfield on Monday because Kevin Pillar got hit in the face with a pitch. So hope everything's all right there with him, but could potentially miss some time there, and rightfully so. So some openings there for the Mets. More Mets news. Noah Syndergaard is a little bit more positive. Not a little bit, a lot of it. Will make his first rehab appearance with low A St. Lucie on Wednesday as he recovers from last year's Tommy John surgery. Early to mid-June remains a realistic timetable for Syndergaard. Even more Mets news. Taijuan Walker was removed Monday after 3 scoreless innings due to left side tightness. Framber Valdez allowed 5 runs. Only one of those were earned over 3 innings in his first rehab start. With AAA Sugarland, that sounds fun, he finished with 47 pitches. Rafael Dolis is expected to return on Tuesday for the Blue Jays. Who gets their next save, Scott?
Dolis
over Jordan Romano.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Romano hasn't even gotten their most recent save, has he?
I think he did.
Can't remember what. Something happened where like the next day they used him in a non-closer situation or something. Hang on, let me see if I can find it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. AJ Cole has the
most recent
save. Oh, gosh, what a mess. Jose Abreu will miss the series against the Twins with left ankle inflammation, but is expected to return on Friday. CJ Cron will be activated off the IL on Tuesday. Eric Hosmer is expected back on Wednesday. Kenta Maeda, dealing with a groin strain, will throw on Tuesday as the Twins try to determine if he'll be able to make his next scheduled start against Cleveland on Friday. David Price was activated for the Dodgers. Albert Pujols was batting cleanup and started at first base in his first game with the Dodgers. Charlie Blackmon sat for the third straight game on Monday with a sore groin, though he was close to starting, apparently. Willie Calhoun played his 10th game in the outfield. Nick Senzel played his third game at third base on Monday, so getting closer to 5 games at third for Senzel. Mike Soroka's Achilles procedure apparently went well, but Brian Snitker hinted at Soroka not being back at all this season, which we kind of speculated last week. Joey Gallo is a trade target for teams looking for an outfielder. And I don't know why. I just kind of feel like the Yankees are going to be in on him because that's the kind of player that they love. Some buy or sell. We already talked about Ohtani and the Rangers outfielders. Let's talk about Tyler Naquin. Scott, your boy, Tyler Naquin. Two more hits, including his 9th home run of the season. He is batting .265 with an .884 OPS. He is 66% rostered. Buy or sell, Naquin needs to be rostered in all three outfield formats.
No, he doesn't need to be rostered in three outfield formats. No, but he's not going away that quickly. He keeps playing. His expected stats are still right in line with his actual stats. And, you know, for as bad as I felt dropping, what, like 150 fab dollars on him in a couple of 15 team leagues, like no other hitter has emerged in leagues that deep that would be worth anywhere close to that kind of investment. So I guess Horner has come since then, but he didn't require that much of an investment because he hadn't really started hitting yet.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, hitters, right?
Yeah, just talking hitters.
Yeah.
I guess Adolis Garcia would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Garcia went for a good amount.
His fab was kind of like a slow burn. I feel like it was over a couple of weeks. He built really slowly. That was Corbin Burns' longstanding 5-day long record. Interesting. 58 strikeouts between walks.
So in my 15-team NFBC main event league, Adolis Garcia on April 25th went for $225 out of a $1,000 budget. And he's been worth every penny so far. Next buy or sell, Josh Donaldson. He went 1-for-3 with his 5th home run of the season on Monday. He is batting .274, but doing so with a .313 expected batting average and a .591 expected slug. Chris, buy or sell, Josh Donaldson is a top 15 third baseman.
I think I would sell that, but
why you think he's going to get injured?
I think that's the concern for sure. Just that he won't play.
Chris, you can't do this
regularly.
You can't do this.
That's so against your brand there, Chris.
Yeah, that's your guy. I mean,
he's already been hurt this season, and we're not talking about a 28-year-old Byron Buxton. We're talking about like a 34-year-old Josh Donaldson. I think there's
so it's an ageism thing. I see.
It's a little bit of both. You know, I think you can be biased against players for all kinds of reasons.
To be fair, Donaldson over the past 2 weeks or so has played every game.
Yeah, I mean that would be my concern. Would just be that he's not, even if he does stay healthy, he's not going to play every game. But if he does, I think he's going to be top 15 on a per game basis. Like he had a right around an .850 OPS last season. It was .900 the year before. Like there have been signs of decline in his game, but he's aging really well when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you actually have him ranked 15th.
I just moved him up. Yeah. I just did. Yeah.
Okay. So you're buying it then.
Yeah. Push.
Chris does that a lot. Like while we're talking, I'm looking at his rankings. So I look at the rankings before and I make the rundown and I'm like, all right, well, Chris has him 19th or 20th or whatever. And then he moves him right up to 15 to like sneakily. I had him 15 the whole time.
I never say I had them the whole time. It's just, you know, it's a living, breathing document. And, you know, I reserve the right to change my opinion when presented with new information. Mm-hmm.
Scott, what do you think? Because based on these underlying numbers for Donaldson and the fact that, you know, the weather's starting to heat up and in the north where he plays in Minnesota and stuff, I can see moving him inside the top 15. You know, guys like Moustakas haven't been great. Suarez is coming around a little bit, but Matt Chapman hasn't really done much. I could see Donaldson getting in the top 15 there. So what do you think? Buy or sell?
Yeah, I'm looking at him. I have him 19th right now, but I'm kind of with you. It's you got these hangers on. You got these hangers on like Kevin Biggio. It's like, do I really want Biggio more than Donaldson still? I know if I was setting my lineup right now and choosing between them, I know which one I'd start. That's Donaldson. But yeah, that's tough. I think I would leave Donaldson just outside my top 15, though it's really just a matter of how much he's gonna play, not really about the performance, like Chris was saying.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to move him inside my top 15. I like what I'm seeing, the underlying numbers there from Donaldson. The caveat with, I guess, every player in baseball nowadays is that he has to stay healthy, but you know, the past couple of weeks or so, he's looked good there. Would you guys, I don't know if this is a realistic trade. You guys let me know. Can you sell high on someone like Kyle Gibson or Alex Wood for Josh Donaldson? And would you do that?
I would definitely do that.
Is it realistic?
To me, it's... Yeah, it's I think it's realistic. Like it seems like a total needs-based trade to me.
Yeah.
The guy you're trading with doesn't need Donaldson, but needs a pitcher. Mm. And if you need Donaldson and don't need a pitcher, then I think those terms line up pretty well. I'd be more likely to trade Gibson than Wood if I was making the choice.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
I think that deal would be more likely to happen too, for what it's worth.
Yeah. Make it happen. If you have a glut of pitchers and you're looking for a hitter, Josh Donaldson, someone you should be targeting. Sonny Gray has completed six innings just once in six tries. The ERA up to 3.86. The whip is 1.45. Chris, last week on one of our podcasts, we talked about how he was moving up the rankings. I think he had an awesome 11 strikeout game against the Dodgers. And
He had the 1 6 inning game.
Yeah. Yep. And he's been just kind of meh since then. So buy or sell, Sonny Gray is overrated.
I never know what to do with over or underrated. You know, like people will say like, oh, the Beatles are the most overrated band, but like
we do have some Beatles team name Tuesdays later on.
They got like five like classic albums. How are you gonna say they're overrated? You know, I think Sonny Gray, like nobody's excited about Sonny Gray anymore, right? Nobody's like beating down the door to make an argument that Sonny Gray is some elite pitcher. I think he's in that blob. I'm just going to refer to it as the blob. Starting pitchers ranked, 17 through, let's call it 43. Starting pitcher. He's in there. somewhere towards the middle.
That is a fact.
Scott, I'll say he's overrated.
Overrated. You're buying it.
Yeah, I'm buying it. Overrated because Chris just rated him for us, and I think that's too high.
You don't think he's a top 43 starting pitcher?
No.
Oof.
All right.
I don't like. He's not obviously not getting the innings. His ground ball rate, which was the one consistency for him, it's down quite a bit this year. And like,
I mean, it's six starts.
Yeah, sure. But I would have said he was overrated coming into the season too. So it's kind of I've got the confirmation bias going on here.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to another hitter, the Yerminator. Haven't talked about him in a while. Yermin Mercedes. He went 3-for-6 with his sixth home run of the season. By the way, his sixth home run that he hit, it was on a 3-0, 48-mile-per-hour Ephus pitch from Williams Asudillo, who was pitching because the score was 15-4 at the time. So we'll see.
I think that was a misclassification. I think it was just a fastball. But.
Yeah, I don't know if he was intentionally throwing an Ephus.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. You know, a lot of times when you've got a new pitcher, it takes them a little while to, you know, get the spin rate classifications right. So, you know.
Apparently, he threw one pitch that was 75 miles per hour. That was classified as his fastball, I guess.
That was his changeup.
Yeah.
I think they were both fastballs. It's just... Not a lot of consistency.
One's a two-seamer, one's a four-seamer.
I do wonder if anyone's going to get up in arms because Yermin Mercedes was swinging 3-0 when they're up 15-4. And last year when Fernando Tatis did it, it was like this big, oh my God, poor sportsmanship kind of thing.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
I usually get both sides when there's those poor sportsmanship arguments. Like I'm generally against the bad form argument. I'm on the side of it's all fine, but I at least get where they're coming from. That Tatis thing made no sense.
I mean, thing, like, if you put a position player on the mound, you're giving up on the game and you have no right to gripe about anything unless you are concerned about getting home earlier. That is the only reason you can complain. And
you know, that's probably why a lot of baseball writers complain about it. I've actually wondered that before.
That's 100%.
Like, the reason they hate extra innings so much is because they're at the ballpark till 4 a.m. So that's why they hate it. But those of us who just want to enjoy a good baseball game.
For me, it's like, it used to be like a bit of a novelty. Like, oh, we're in the 15th inning and a position player has to pitch. Or like, oh, Ichiro has been like pushing his manager for like 15 years to let him pitch and he finally got to do it. And now it's like three times a week we have to watch it. And it's like, can we just make it so that a team can forfeit the rest of the game if we're going to do this? Like, if a doubleheader can only be seven innings, let Tony La Russa forfeit. Tony La Russa would never forfeit a game, by the way.
I don't.
There's no question he would ever do that. But maybe another manager who is more reasonable would rather do that than have their batters, their hitters throwing.
I don't think Tony La Russa would have forfeited because they were winning 16-4, Chris.
Right. You know what I mean?
I know what you whatever. Mean. Anyway, look, if you're up 10 runs after the seventh inning, mercy rule, whatever. Anyway, for your mean Mercedes, he was only batting .244 in May thanks to an increase in strikeouts and a 15% infield fly ball rate, pop-up rate, whatever you want to call it, in the month of May. So buy or sell, you can drop your mean Mercedes, even though he just had a great game, in shallower leagues.
No, come on. You can't drop him. Look at what his season-long numbers look like still. Isn't he leading the majors in batting average?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is just front-loaded from April, though. I mean, this was his first home run of May. He was batting .244, so he was slowing down.
No, I get that, and that batting average will probably continue to come down, but like still, the full season stats count for more than just the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's...
The only thing I will say is, like, I could see there being a situation where you drafted Franmil Reyes in a 12-team points league. And I've seen Franmil Reyes on the wire in a bunch of my 12-team points leagues lately. Mm-hmm. I could see a situation where you have him and you've got to make a roster move. You've got both Mercedes and Franmil. And, you know, maybe you make that move. I could see that. I would rather have Franmil than Mercedes.
How about this? Your mean Mercedes is available in my home league. It's a 12-team points league. I also have Nelson Cruz. My outfield is bad. My outfield is bad. I'm thinking about trading away Nelson Cruz, shopping him for an outfielder that can help my team, and adding your mean Mercedes.
I mean, if you get an outfielder that's legitimately as good as Cruz, then I think that makes sense. But obviously... Yeah, I mean, if you're just talking about I want Cruz in my utility spot and Mercedes is out there, I mean, it's kind of a silly hypothetical because what's Mercedes' rostership right now? It's got to be...
It's 81%, so it's,
yeah.
it's not
slower than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I did face that situation in a shallow points league like that. I already had Cruz and Mercedes was out there early in the season, and I was putting bids in for him in all my other leagues, and I just couldn't justify it in that league because bench spot did not allow me to carry a second DH only guy, you know, bench base didn't allow for that. So, I guess that's still in play, but it would be a situation where as soon as you dropped him, somebody else should swoop in and pick him up.
Yeah. Cause there are still five highly relevant utility or DH only players right now. I mean, Stanton's on IL, obviously, but, well, Martinez is outfield eligible now, right?
Martinez is outfield. Yeah. Calhoun's outfield.
Soler is outfield.
Okay.
So it's just Cruz. It's Yordan Alvarez.
Stanton.
Franmil. And your mean Mercedes. Randall. Yeah, those are basically the five. Last buy or sell, Logan Webb was at the Reds on Monday. 6 shutout with 4 strikeouts. He has now delivered quality starts in 4 of his last 5. He is 31% rostered. Buy or sell, Logan Webb needs to be added in 12-team leagues.
Sell.
He had 10 strikeouts last time, and that was really the first start where we saw the changeup come on the way they talked it up this spring. And this start, even though, you know, 6 shutout innings, he only threw 13 changeups. They were good for 2 of his 9 whiffs. I mean, really, it's just that one 10 strikeout start from Webb that at all made me think he's going to be anything worthwhile this year.
Mm-hmm. All right. So don't rush out there to get Logan Webb on your fantasy teams. We are going to take a quick break. But first, just want to remind everyone, if you are watching us on YouTube, thank you for staying up late and hanging out with us. But you should subscribe if you are watching to our YouTube channel. Or if you haven't watched yet, just come watch and subscribe anyway. YouTube.com/fantasybaseballtoday. Hit that little subscribe button and then tap the little bell. So you will get a notification every time we go live, which is usually right around midnight Eastern time each night. And you will also get a notification every time we drop a new video. So Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, you will get those updates. So make sure to subscribe. We will take a quick break, but when we return, we have some hitters who have made some changes in May, players who are improving. Talk about them next, Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. So let's jump into some of this action that is happening in May. I saw a tweet from you over the weekend, Scott, which kind of spurned this idea on me. And then Chris went out and wrote a great article, which you can find on the site right now, cbssports.com/fantasy/baseball. And offense is up in the month of May. So if you compare it to April, 243 batting average in May, 232 in April, 320 OBP versus 309, 398 slug versus 389. Strikeout rate has gotten a little bit better, 23% in May versus 24% in April. BABIP is up about 12 percentage points as well, which means the offense in May is very close to what it was overall last season. So we're getting closer, and I think that's a sign of the weather heating up and I think just overall hitters making adjustments to pitchers, and they probably just got off to slow starts. So it's good to see.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think it is worth, making a comparison. I think you can compare it to 2020, but obviously you're dealing with July, August, September, comparing it to May and April. So, I think it's worth comparing to May of 2019. And when you do that, batting average is still down 11 points compared to May of 2019. Strikeout rate is still up 0.7% among non-pitchers.
2019 was a historic year for offense, so I don't know that that's a fair comparison either. And I kind of, the tweet Frank's referring to, I was basically comparing April 2021 to May 2021 to all of 2020, those two plus months, and basically May specifically for BABIP and strikeout rate, that's where things went most crazy in April of this year. BABIP being way down when that's very consistent from year to year, and K rate was way up. And now it's virtually identical. In May, it's virtually identical, both of those numbers, to what it was in 2020. So, I was just kind of thinking from the standpoint of, okay, we're usually calibrating our expectations for league-wide trends based on the previous year. And so, May pretty much looks like the previous year. Now, I really don't know, I'm not ready to draw conclusions based on that. It just has me second guessing some of these conclusions I was coming to just a week ago when we were mostly looking at those April numbers.
I think my conclusion at this point would be it's not going to be 2019, obviously. I think it's more, in terms of batted balls, it's probably more like 2018, which was May, you had a 297 BABIP, you had a 13% home run to fly ball rate. That's, the BABIP is a little higher than what we've seen so far in May of 2021, the home run to fly ball rate a little lower.
Yeah, the home run rate does look a lot like 2018. 2018 was the lowest. So basically the juiced ball era started second half of 2016, and 2018 was the worst year for home runs during that stretch. And that's kind of what we're looking at. But if we aren't going to see this new, even higher K rate, and if we're not going to see this never before seen low BABIP, so more balls being put in play than what was happening in April, and more success on the balls that are being more like normal success on the balls being put in play, then I think things are going to, things are going to get closer to normal. They're not going to be 2019, but 2019 wasn't normal anyway. It's going to be a situation where, not all the mid-range hitters are batting 220 to 230 like we're seeing so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping.
It's so hard to say because so many hitters are hurt right now. So many fantasy relevant hitters are hurt right now.
Yeah, so that's driving down the overall numbers as well.
Yeah.
But I think your point, Scott, the final point you just made is about so many of those mid-range hitters batting 220 to 230. I think we're already starting to see a lot of them bounce back, and those were a lot of names that we were talking about, you know, just last week, a couple of weeks ago, like the Paul Goldschmidts and Anthony Rizzos, and those guys are coming around a little bit. Same thing with Charlie Blackmon. So we were pounding the table about a bunch of those guys early on, and another one was Kyle Tucker, who now in May is batting .313 with four home runs. The walk rate is up. Oddly enough, he's done it with a ground ball rate, which is right around 47%, but he's pulling the ball more. His home run to fly ball ratio is up. He's come around. I don't know that there's anything actionable. I feel like the buy low window for Kyle Tucker is closed, but it's good to see that he actually has gotten back on track like we hoped.
Yeah. And that was kind of why I looked into it, is because I was going through picking out hitters for the hitting planner for the upcoming week. And I kept seeing that a lot of hitters' numbers were way up in May. And so I just, Jose Abreu comes to mind, Kyle Schwarber, he just homered today. He's had a much better May than April. And just a bunch. I kept seeing that over and over again. And it looks like it's a league-wide trend. So we'll see if it continues. But that is a stark contrast from one month to the next. I was really surprised to see just how much all of those numbers had bounced back in May.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa batting .375 with an OPS over 1,000 in May. But his ground ball rate is still right around 60%. He's spraying the ball around a little bit more. His hard contact is up. Is this a sell-high opportunity with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa?
I think technically it is, just from the sense that I don't think he can sustain this pace. But at the same time, show me the person who's in a position to trade Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, because
exactly,
it wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
Well, or show me the person who's going to give you a lot for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Exactly. That's the main point. Like if no one's going to give you anything, just hold on to him. And even when he slows down, like you still reaped a lot of the benefits for where you drafted him anyway. So, and if you play on Yahoo, of course, he's catcher eligible. So I would imagine in a categories league there, he is probably one of, if not the best catchers in fantasy. Yeah,
if he's catcher eligible, obviously you don't sell him.
Yep.
Nolan, he might be a top three catcher in if he's eligible there.
Nolan Arenado batting .379 with five home runs in May. He only has three strikeouts in 15 games. Batted ball data looks a lot better this month. And he's batting .300 overall, .915 OPS, on pace for 32 home runs. I'm not going to say he's Nolan Arenado from the Rockies, but instead of being like 75 to 80%, which is, I guess, what we were expecting, he kind of looks like he's like 90% Nolan Arenado. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to change from week to week. So worth keeping in mind, even though we're a quarter of the way through the season now, the samples are still small from a baseball context. But are we doing the sell high thing with him? Because I don't really see doing that.
Yeah, I mean, would you? I wouldn't sell high. I would probably just hold on to him.
No.
Yep.
Yeah, it depends on how, like, he was hitting .273 five games ago.
Right.
I think he's probably more likely to hit .275 than .300 the rest of the way. But I think he's a solid starter. If somebody still views him as like a superstar caliber player, then yeah, I would move him.
Mm-hmm. Paul Goldschmidt, we were telling you for a while that the underlying numbers looked a lot better. He's batting .315 with a .920 OPS in May. Line drive rate way up for him. Xander Bogaerts batting .370 with five home runs. He is just pulling the ball like crazy. 62% pull rate, a 42% home run to fly ball ratio in the month of May. So I looked in to see how many of his games have been at home, because maybe he's just taking advantage of the Green Monster. 9 of 15 games at home. So seems like Xander Bogaerts is just awesome, and he's running really hot right now.
I think he's also just like arguably the most undervalued or underrated player in fantasy baseball.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I can't tell you that if we were redrafting today, I'd be taking him late in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Xander Bogaerts is for his career, he's outperformed his ex-WOBA every single season in the StatCast era since 2015. Overall, it's about 33 points. And this year, he has a .396 ex-WOBA. So he's really good. He's not going to be this good forever, but he's one of the 2015-20 best hitters in fantasy.
Robbie Grossman, we've talked a lot about recently, batting .314 with two homers and three steals in May. He has more walks than strikeouts this month. The fly ball rate is way up, 64% rostered. I don't know that that number needs to be much higher, but even in points leagues, I think you can stream him on a week-to-week basis if he's got a lot of games, so you can kind of play with the volume there with Robbie Grossman. Marcus Semien, batting .361 with four homers, line drive rate way up, 34%. The home run to fly ball ratio is up. Scott, we spoke about Semien a couple of weeks ago, and we were like kind of skeptical. We didn't know what to make of it. Are you more confident now in Semien?
Yeah, I would say so. I think at the time his strikeout rate was quite a bit higher than it is now. It's still high for him, but it's come down some. You know, the expected stats still look a lot worse than the actual stats, but not to the same extreme. Like it's kind of like the underlying numbers are catching up to the actual ones. And, you know, just the fact that he's running as much as he is, it's easy to see the glass half full.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see him keep running. Only one stolen base attempt in May after seven in June.
Yeah, that's a good point. April. Stolen bases are not...
It's hard to pace them out.
Right. They don't maintain a steady pace. So it's possible he has seven now. Maybe he finishes the year with 10. You know, I think he's probably a sell high. I think he's more likely to take a step back than maintain. But it's another situation. Like shortstop is, as anybody who just lost Corey Seager knows, shortstop is, there's not a lot out there. So when you have one that's worth starting, it's hard to move on. It's hard to let him go.
He is like a top 12 or 15 overall hitter in roto leagues this season.
Well, the nine home runs and seven steals. I believe it.
That'll do it. A few other names that I noticed making some changes in May. Randy Arozarena, strikeout rate way down, walking more, hitting a lot less ground balls, which is exactly what we wanted to see. It hasn't really been reflected in the numbers yet, but I find it pretty promising for him. Joey Gallo hitting more fly balls in May. April, it was weird. He was hitting a ton of ground balls, but hitting the ball harder as well. So you like to see that from Gallo. Kevin Biggio making more contact and hitting a lot more line drives. So maybe a potential buy low situation here. And I'm talking about like real low. Don't go out and spend anything of legitimate value for Kevin Biggio, but he has been better this month. Max Muncy seems like he's selling out for power a bit. Strikeouts are up, but also hitting a lot of fly balls and making hard contact. He has five home runs in the month of May. And Eugenio Suarez now has nine hits over his last eight games. His strikeout rate has gone from 38% in April to 25% in May. You still might be able to buy low on Suarez, something that I would look into doing. I do have a quick email that we got from Chris, not Chris Towers, and wanted to ask about Nick Madrigal. And a little bit of a rankings debate. Chris, you have him ranked 11th at second base. Scott, you have him 32nd. And apparently I have him 18th. I haven't changed that yet in the middle of this podcast. Maybe I'll change it afterwards. But he goes on to say, would love to hear your thoughts on him as well, whether or not I should drop him in favor of recently dropped Garrett Hampson. So what do you guys think on Nick Madrigal, who went 3-for-5 on Monday, hit his first career home run. He only has one home run and one steal on the season, which is just very weird. So talk about Madrigal and him versus Garrett Hampson.
So I think he's kind of useless. I'm looking at it now because 32 did sound low, but I'm looking at the names ahead of them, and they all seem more useful than he is. He has only one steal so far. Obviously, if he ran at a pace more like we saw in the minors where he could be like a 30-steal guy, it would change the equation, but there's virtually no power there. He did hit his first career home run tonight, but it's not going to be a lot of those. He typically bats low in the order. Occasionally he bats second like he did today, but usually ninth. So not generating his own power, not running much, not in position to score a lot of runs or drive in a lot. Like he's just, his batting average isn't even that great. I expect it to go up, but probably a hollow batting average guy. And there's just, I have no interest in Nick Madrigal at this point. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing is the running. Like I feel like he should hit 300. And if I were making the White Sox lineup, I would probably bat him pretty high. And I would let him run. Mm-hmm. They've only really done that with Tim Anderson so far. So yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating. I don't agree with the decision-making of the Chicago White Sox organization so far this season, but yeah, 11's too high. I will move him down, but I would love to see him hit higher in the lineup more often. But since he's not, I will have to move him down. I'm moving him down to 16.
Mm-hmm. He was batting second on Monday, Chris, so you'll be happy to know that. It was against a lefty in J-Hap and probably helped contribute to his massive game. I would rather have Garrett Hampson, to answer your question, Chris, who emailed in. And if I were spending fab on it, if it's any type of categories league, I could see going like 8 to 10% on Garrett Hampson, maybe even more than that, but depends on the rest of your league. Hampson has...
Well, if he's still available at this point, you probably can go 0%.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, maybe put in like a $2 bid.
Yeah. He's got... Garrett Hampson has 5 homers, 8 steals, 28 runs scored, only batting 250, but he's been very good so far for the Rockies, so I would rather have him than Nick Madrigal. Some leftovers from Monday. Mike Yastrzemski has 3 hits and 2 home runs over his last 2 games, so maybe he's finally getting healthy. Max Fried allowed 1 run over 6 innings with 8 strikeouts against the Mets. He has a 1.59 ERA in 3 starts since returning from the IL. Adbra Alzolay was just kind of meh. They only let him throw 63 pitches. Thought that was interesting. His lowest pitch count of the season. He allowed 3 runs over 5 innings. Trey Turner hit his 10th home run. He is batting .329. He has 7 steals in 38 games. He is on a 39 home run, 27 steal pace over 150 games. So Trey Turner is awesome. Josh Bell went 2 for 3 with a walk. He now has 6 hits over his last 4 games. Baby steps, baby steps, Josh Bell. You got to learn how to crawl before you can walk. I like what I see. Kyle Schwarber went 1 for 3 with his 6th homer of the season. And over his last 7, he is batting .333 with 3 home runs. He is now 74% rostered. So, okay. Took some of our advice yesterday. Maybe got him in the lineup. 7 games this week, all against righties. Dallas Keuchel was fine. 7 innings, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts. He threw his cutter a season-high 32% in this start, and that was a really productive pitch for him last season. So maybe that's something
six,
that can help.
6 strikeouts was the most strikeouts he's had in the start this year by 2.
Yeah. I think the cutter is big. I think if he gets back to using that cutter, it could help him out quite a bit. Luke Voit hit his 1st home run of the season. I'm not going to talk about Jordan Lyles because why would I do that? Casey Mize actually had another really good start for the Detroit Tigers, and kind of comes at a weird time because we got the update last week that he's going to be kind of slow rolled throughout the summer for the Tigers, but we're not.
Is this his best start ever?
It's certainly his longest.
Might have been 7 2/3, 1 earned, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts.
Against got to be a career high in strikeouts, I think.
The Seattle Mariners. And you know who closed out the game? Michael Fulmer.
Yeah, Michael Fulmer.
Who now has his 3rd save. Gregory Soto was using the 8th. So I guess talk about both together. I kind of feel like Fulmer is the closer-ish. He has their last 2 saves.
Yeah, and then pretty quick succession. Yeah, success with you.
Yes, second one came on Thursday of last week, I believe.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, maybe. The Tigers so rarely get save chances that it's hard to get a firm grasp on what's going on there. I wonder who's, because Soto just came in and got 1 out in the 8th. I wonder if he wasn't needed for that 1 out, if it would have been different, but it's at least, Fulmer's at least in the mix here. Mize's 7 Ks equal to career high. He had 7 in 1 start last year. You know, still not missing a lot of bats, but
yeah, even
runs off the board and going deep. So I don't know, pretty fringy probably, especially given the innings limitations that have been forecasted for him. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, nice if he was available in like a standard 12 team points or roto league, I'm not even sure I would go at him.
Yep. Again, that's Casey Mize that we're talking about. He's 62% rostered on CBS, so that number doesn't need to be higher.
Well, might even be a little too high.
Oh, okay. Some other bullpen updates outside of this Michael Fulmer news. Michael Fulmer, 19% rostered, by the way. So if you play in a categories league, he is widely available, as is Tyler Rogers for the Giants, who now has saves in back-to-back days. And he has 5 total on the season. This comes after Jake McGee allowed a bunch of runs over the weekend. Scott, who would you rather have between Tyler Rogers and Michael Fulmer?
Oh, Rogers.
Okay.
Rogers. Yeah. Opportunity is going to be scarce for Detroit. And he could have gone to McGee had a day off already, and Gabe Kapler chose not to go to him on Monday. So I think he's leaning Rogers now.
Mm-hmm. And Rodgers, I think the roster percentage, 34%, is just too low. It's less than Giovanni Gallegos and Devin Williams, who are never going to get saves for their respective teams. So Tyler Rodgers, go get him if you need some saves. For the Mets, Edwin Diaz walked one but picked up his sixth save. Ian Kennedy got his 11th save for the Rangers, for my Texas Rangers, against the New York Yankees revenge game. To stream or not to stream for Tuesday, Luis Patino at the Orioles, John Gant versus the Pirates, JT Brubaker at the Cardinals, Andrew Heaney versus Cleveland, Justin Dunn versus Detroit, and Spencer Turnbull at the Mariners.
Well, we said yesterday Heaney and Brubaker were the obvious ones. I went Gant versus Pittsburgh. Chris went Turnbull at Seattle. Mm.
Yes. But nice. I'll also add, I could see Justin Dunn having a very good start.
Nice memory there from Scott, because you know what? I didn't remember it. To stream or not stream for Wednesday, Wade Miley versus the Giants, Garrett Richards at the Blue Jays, that's down in Dunedin, Brad Keller versus the Brewers, Tarek Skubal at the Mariners, Matt Shoemaker versus the White Sox, Jake Arrieta versus the Nationals. This is a terrible list of starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Skubal's used his split change that was hyped up this spring. He's used it more his last two outings, and they've gone a little bit better. It's a good matchup, as we saw for Mize at Seattle. So I guess he'd be my first choice.
I think I'm hoping we get Grud Keller today and not Brad Keller. So I'll go with him.
Yeah. I'm regretting the Skubal thing. I'm going to take it back.
Yeah, I think Keller, Richards, and Miley are probably the three I would go with if I have to go with three.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
Team Name Tuesday will wrap up here. This one's from Omar. Brujan got you all in check.
Brujan got you all in check. You guys might be too young for that.
What is it from, Chris? I have no idea.
I think it's a Tribe Called Quest song, but it's Busta Rhymes who says that. Pretty sure.
I like how Chris always says you guys might be too young for that when I've got like, what, 4 years on him?
Oh, no, it's just a Busta Rhymes song. Yeah.
Yeah. Admittedly, like if we're in the pop culture reference meter just of life, like Adam Azer is like, you guys, if you're watching, he's like way up here somewhere. He knows probably everything there is to know. Chris is close. You know, Chris is up there. Scott, I would say, is below Chris. And then I'm just like somewhere like, I don't know. You guys can't see my desk right now, but just way, way, way below. This one's from Alex. There's some bows in this houser.
Okay. I'm not impressed, but
I don't quite get it. I think
It's from a song from it's from Cardi B, I believe.
Ah, okay,
I'm sure you know the song, Chris.
Yes, of course.
Because I know the song, so you have to know the
song. Whoa, look at you, Scott. I you know what? I just gave us no credit, and then there you go.
I might be too young for that one.
Yeah, Scott, you might, Chris. From Kaz, cease fires, wood burns means panic.
Sure. That's a whole sentence.
So it's just kind of a...
Yeah, ceasefires.
Cramming a bunch of names together in a way that works. Okay, I can live with that.
From Tony, say it like you means it, Gilbert.
All right.
Sure, yeah. Apparently, it's actually a Sugar Hill Gang song that Busta Rhymes later sampled. The Beastie Boys also sampled it in their classic song, Shake Your Rump.
This next one's from industry friend Mike Curlin. We actually had him on the offseason. Jean-Claude Van Dong.
It's very good.
I like it. Yeah. From Kevin, show me the money.
Sure.
Is that like a name?
That's a Heath one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Not like Heath came up with it.
But it's just not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out if this second word is someone's like name. I tried looking it up. I can.
Yeah, the money.
Yeah, I don't know. From Colin, these are all Beatles themed. You say goodbye, I say hello.
Okay.
We're so sorry, Uncle Adbert.
Yep, that's technically Wings, but you know, I think it still works.
I want a hold. Brad Hand. I want to hold Brad. All right.
I want to hold Brad Hand. That works as a sentence, too. That's good. I like that one. That's the winner tonight.
And then 8 grays a week.
Okay.
Yep. Fair enough.
Yep.
From Pat in Ohio. Oh, Lourdes, won't you buy me a Mercedes Sims by Junis Gonsolin?
Yep. Yep.
I think that probably went too far with all the names.
Yeah, that's a lot. From Robert, Mark Canna Corn.
Yep. Yeah, sure. That's a classic. Yeah.
Any updates from Keston Hiura? That's just a question. I've got him on my dynasty roster. Well, apparently.
I thought that was a teammate.
he is batting .250 with 4 doubles and 7 strikeouts in 4 games. So not going so well so far for Keston Hiura. This one's from Jack. Oh, I listened to the song before to try to remember how it goes. Chris, you would know it.
Whoa, Framber is the color of your energy.
Yeah, this is good. I like this. This is good.
That's a very good one.
Right up your alley.
I'll always laugh at a 311 reference.
From Quincy, Bobichette, where?
It's good. I got it.
It's good. From Greg, Enoa, I broke my hand.
Yep.
From Ryan, Magical Mystery Machine.
I think you could just go with Magical Mystery Tour, and there's got to be a baseball player we could like. Magical Mystery Boar, if he was still playing, would be good.
Classic, but Miami Marlin.
I don't know if there's a good one who's actually playing in Major League Baseball currently.
And last but not least, Scooby-Doo Abreu.
Yep.
I mean, they're both Scooby-Doo themed ones, right? Yeah.
Yes.
But it wasn't the magical. It was just the mystery machine, right?
It was just the... Yeah, I think it was just the mystery machine. Mm.
I don't know.
Because the whole thing was it wasn't magic. There was no magic at all in the Scooby-Doo universe.
I wasn't big into Scooby-Doo.
It was always just old man Carter from the abandoned warehouse.
Sure. Yeah. It was, and they all had very convincing masks, apparently.
I think Scooby-Doo went off the rails when they introduced like real ghosts. It just betrayed the spirit of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And also Scrappy. Yeah. Not a fan of Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, just got to go with the classic. Would have got away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids. For Scott and Chris, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye. If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com. As somebody who's been through this, I can tell you these features are so, so incredibly valuable. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools, and their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. The area you live in is just as important as the house itself. You can get to know a neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. Say you're a really active person. You could find out about the nearest parks. Do they have a baseball field? Maybe you want to join a softball league like Chris and I play in. Also, Homes.com collaboration tools makes it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.